Hi guys, it's me, Todd. Welcome back to The Bitter End. You may have noticed that I'm not in the studio as normal right now. It's symbolic, I think, that on this episode, when we finally do reach the bitter end of the Friday the 13th franchise, that it's only just now that the curse of Crystal Lake finally struck. Me and Tom did get together to talk about the trailer for the 2009 remake of the original Friday the 13th movie, which as of right now in February 2016 is the final installment of the series. Unfortunately, due to no small amount of digital corruption and possibly even the voodoo powers of the late Mrs. Voorhees herself, we have lost the tape of that part of the conversation. Tom has bravely gone off into the woods to try and find the source of the problem, and I gotta tell you, he's been gone a really long time, and I'm starting to get a bit worried. So, yeah. What you're gonna hear instead is the complete recording of me and Tom talking after we have just watched the film. So, you're only missing out on about 4 minutes worth of the two of us guessing what the film is going to be like. We both noted that we were feeling pretty emotional about finally getting to the bitter end of the series, and we both got very excited about the fact that the trailer features both the classic hockey mask Jason in it and the bag-headed Jason from Friday the 13th Part 2. Tom guessed that the film scored a 5 on IMDb, but in actual fact it got a 5.6, which isn't too bad at all, although Tom did get a little bit wary when the trailer mentioned that the film is produced by Michael Bay. So, yeah, that's it. I'm just here in the woods, on my own, waiting for Tom. It's pretty creepy out here. I hope you like the episode, guys. Tom? Is that you?
We made it!
Oh, yeah! Here we go, baby. Cheers.
Cha-ching.
We did it! That's it. That's the bitter end of Friday the 13th.
And what a way to go out, buddy.
What a way to go.
That is a film.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Guys, that film is good. That is a good remake. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah. I mean, there may be a few issues, but actually, pound for pound,
yeah,
that is a strong movie.
It is scary.
Scariest of them all, in my opinion.
Yeah, where it falls down is its attempts to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Fuck, I'm not watching this film for the laughs.
No, it's not. Not what you go there for.
I'm watching this film to see some
douchebags,
naughtiest douchebags get slashed
killed.
Up.
And my God, the people in this film are reprehensible assholes.
Yes.
In any of these films, I know like the slasher vibe is that you don't really care about any of the characters.
Because I certainly don't.
They are all horrible people and you cannot wait for them to die. My God. If it were me, I would just want this film to be 15 minutes long because I just could not bear watching these people on the screen. I just wanted them to, they could not die fast enough.
There's a couple of okay people. Whitney.
Yeah, yeah.
Whitney has no real negative traits.
Yeah, she's good.
Look, before we get down this path,
yes,
we should probably explain ourselves. Okay. Sorry, guys. This is me and Tom were really like properly analysing the film while we were watching it, like two train spotters talking about trains that they're seeing. You know, we're deep in at this point. We're really soaked in the lore of this thing.
Yeah.
So there was a lot for us to talk about. So we already feel like we've been kind of discussing this a bit. So we're a little ahead of ourselves. Let's back this train up.
Okay. We can get to how horrible these people are in a bit. Let's talk about the plot, shall we?
Yeah,
how this movie starts.
Let's start at the beginning.
So we start this movie with what is basically the finale of part one.
Yeah. A little title comes up and says 1980, Crystal Lake.
Yep. And we've got whoever the final girl of this scenario of the first film on the docks running away, and like Pamela Voorhees emerges.
Yep.
Saying, "I've already killed everybody. I'm gonna kill you now."
No real explanation. Like, if this was the first Friday film you'd seen, that would probably be a really confusing scene.
It's
an old lady going, "Everybody killed my son. Everybody killed my son."
I don't know. I mean, we can't judge it. Like, how well would you read it if you hadn't seen any of the other films? But I think it, you know, sets it up enough that, like,
you could figure it out, I guess. But with the sequel, you would kind of expect, okay, you'd be kind of crazy to go and see, like, one of these sequels without having at least a passing understanding. But with a remake, I would assume that you should be able to come into it cold. Without having any prior knowledge, if it's a remake.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can do that on this one.
I mean, I guess you kind of can, because in the whole thing is like the first film, you look in the whole series.
Yeah.
The first one was all about, like, this Pamela Voorhees on a revenge trip for Jason.
Yeah.
And then we don't really talk about Pamela very much. Like, no. You know, like, her severed head pops up in part two. But she is not like a ghost looming over Jason throughout the whole thing.
No.
So in a way, you kind of move on from that in this.
Okay. Sorry, I derailed you as I always do.
It's all right. It's okay, buddy. It's okay. 12 films in, I can deal with it. But so basically, the events of film one happen in this film in like 2 minutes.
Mm.
And then we are in the present day.
Yes, it literally says the present day.
As you know, a lot of like harks back to previous films, so present day.
Yeah, if you watch this film 20 years from now,
that's when it's happening.
Yeah.
So, and then we just got like a group of teens or young 20 somethings on their way into the woods on a camping trip, and they all suck.
We quickly are introduced to the personality traits of all of these kids. Each kid has one personality trait. They've
as with all these
films. One thing that defines them.
Yep.
And they're all horrible.
There's a guy who's the nerd, and you can tell because he's got glasses, a Star Wars t-shirt, and talks about global ill positioning systems.
Yeah, like, he's a nerd. That's his thing.
There's some girl who kind of goes, like, it's like, oh, I'm getting, like, slaps her ass because she's getting bitten by mosquitoes. And she's like, oh, I'm getting eaten alive by these mosquitoes. And then her boyfriend, or just partner, just turns like, hey, you want to slap that ass again for daddy? And you're just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, with like all their mates
around.
Yeah,
all their mates like, around. Gross, dude.
Yeah.
Not cool. You'd be like, oh, we've got to go on a camping trip with it. And then other people are just a bunch of feckless goons, basically. They're just, you know, they're all either talking about weed, fucking, or a combination of weed and fucking.
Everybody talks about weed constantly in this film.
Yeah, or at least in this
constantly.
There's a lot of weed permeating into this film. Maybe Michael Bay thought, like, that's who watches these slasher films. Like, it's like stoner kids in frats watching these like at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That ain't us, Mike.
Mike.
I got to tell you, you missed the mark on that one. Anywho, these douchebags are all going into the woods on a camping trip. The nerd and slap that ass for daddy, they are going there on the false pretenses of like, we're going to have a nice camping trip. What they're looking for is they've heard that there's like a secret stash of weed in the woods, and they're going there to try and find it, and they're going to make big bucks.
Now, they're not wrong. It is there. They do stumble across it.
But basically, the nerd guy is like saying, oh, this is like Crystal Lake is near here, and he recounts the story of Jason and Pamela Voorhees. So we're all caught up. That's great. Jason comes along and basically starts killing them.
Yep.
And so like the first one or two or three films, you have that thing of kind of like the fake out kill where you establish a character and you think, well, they're the first character in the movie. We're spending a bit of time with them. I assume they're going to be the main character. Then they get killed.
Yeah. Good fake out.
They do. This is a mass fake out because you introduce...
It's like a whole gang of kids.
You introduce
like
a whole gang of kids.
All these internal politics, all these names we have to learn. And then you're like, all right, they're going to be important.
And then first 20 minutes of the film, a lot of people are dead.
Yeah. Within, like, 20 minutes into the film, every single character that we've ever met is dead, and they have to introduce a whole new batch of characters.
Although, one of those characters is...
Whitney.
So we cut on now, after all these kids get killed, a few, was it like 6 weeks on down the line?
It says six weeks later.
A new group of douchebags are on their way to Crystal Lake to go and have their own douchebag party in a, like a cabin.
Some sort of rich bro lake house.
Rich bro called Trent. He's got, like, his rich folks have a rich people cabin by the lake, and him and a bunch of people that you would assume are his friends, but he treats them all like utter garbage, they're going there to hang out.
Yep.
And they come across, at the gas station, Whitney's brother Clay.
Now, Clay is played by Jared Padalecki from Supernatural, also shows up in the Gilmore Girls briefly.
That's where I knew him from.
Yeah, yeah. And in this, he is very straight down the barrel playing the character of Sam Winchester from Supernatural. He's a very serious guy with a lot of still waters run deep, a lot of emotions. He's passing out missing posters, trying to find his sister.
Yeah.
That's all. He's very, very worried, very concerned.
Yeah, he's got to find her. Like, the sheriff is kind of like, hey, what are you doing around here, son? You know she's not around here.
And he's like, you know I can't believe that.
Yeah.
You know I can't.
Oh, my God. He looks off into the middle distance so much in this movie.
If you're Jared Padalecki, it's all middle distance, baby.
Yeah. I mean, he probably goes to the opticians. He goes, you seem to have a real bad case of middle distance vision. We could give you some glasses or contacts to correct that. He's like, no, this is my bread and butter.
Yeah. So Jared Padalecki, this character Clay, he's handing out these missing posters at the general store, and then Trent, the dude bro douche, is behind him in the queue, and he's like, hey yo, you wanna hurry it up there, buddy? I'm trying to buy some beer.
Yeah.
And
he's
Jared Padalecki, Jared is like, yeah, okay, I'll step aside. And he steps aside.
Oh, you gotta step aside, bro?
You gotta step aside? Alright, yeah, well, how about you don't waste people's important time next time, bro? And Jared goes, he looks off into the middle distance, and in a calm, measured voice, with like, looks at his shoes slightly, and he smiles and he goes, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not your bro. And Trent goes, hey, yo, what?
Oh, so Trent, yeah.
Trent
is the worst character in 12 films where we've been hit with some fucking douchebags.
Yeah.
Leather jacket douchebag from Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah.
Abusive boyfriend from Part 3D.
Yeah.
Like, he was there have been some utter rat bags in this series.
This guy's a rotter.
This guy takes the cake. You just would scream at the screen at this guy in frustration, because literally anything anybody does, like, he's in his rich folks' place, and he just goes, like, hey guys, what are you making a mess of? Oh, you gotta put a coaster. Oh, you guys are such a bunch of douchebags. I hate my fucking girlfriend.
He's like, I need you to take this fuel down to the boat, but don't get in the boat. Don't look at the boat. I just need you to take this to the boat and then come back.
It's like, I think that the only reason that he has these friends, in inverted commas, is because he's rohypnoled them all into going away on a holiday with him. And they just keep on waking up and be like, when they ever go like, hey guys, have you ever realised that Trent's an utter prick? And then like Trent's like, hey you asshole, drink this fucking beer. And they drink the beer and then they suddenly go a little bit sleepy and then boom.
Yeah.
And they pass out again, and they wake up a week later. They're like, hey, Trent, how's it going?
Yeah. Don't you remember we're friends? I got all these photos of you partying with me with your eyes closed.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
Anyway, fuck Trent.
Sorry, we could have put that a bit more succinctly. Fuck this prick. Anyway, doesn't matter. The douchebags all go to the swanky pad.
They go to the lake house. Yeah,
yeah, they're hanging out. There's like a goofball, there's a stoner, and some other people.
Let's run through. Because they've got all the archetypes, really. There's Trent the douchebag. You've got to have like your jock douchebag.
Mm.
There's a stoner. There's a goofball. There's a nondescript kind of serious boyfriend guy. And then there's two girls, right?
He's not even a... He's just like another jock. But he's not
he's
the alpha
like nicer,
jock.
Yeah. He's like a henchman guy, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a slutty girl
there's
and a girl next door.
Yeah, who is Trent's girlfriend.
Yeah, the nice girl next door type obviously is going out with Trent, the total douchebag.
And she has a strange pull towards Clay, that whenever Clay pops up, she's kind of like, she just like looks at him sadly, and like him and his like flyers for his missing sister.
Just to clarify, sorry, because I was calling Clay Jared Padalecki. Let's agree to call him Clay from now on, yeah?
Yeah, we'll do our best.
He's Clay.
Okay. Anyway, they're there. At the pad, they get settled in.
Yeah. Guess who else shows up?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Clay shows up.
No.
Oh, no.
Someone else. Big Jace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, mate. We completely forgot to bring up, in the beginning bit, when Big Jace is killing everybody, and the first, then a few kills after this new group of douchebags, he's Baghead Jace.
Baghead Jace from part two. And it looks good in the film.
It looks much better than it did in part two.
It's like a pillowcase with one eye hole cut into it. And this is more like a kind of a burlap sack, like a kind of a mossy, dank sack. No eye holes. None that I saw.
Yeah. So anyway, so Jace, he starts prowling and killing. Pretty much. So basically at this point, like, Clay is going around the neighborhood, going to like houses, trying to be like, hey, have you seen my sister? And then we've got the guy from Veronica Mars. And oh, there was another girl in there who goes water skiing.
She's the slut. Oh, no, they're not the slutty girl. There's a different
girl. Water skiing girl.
Party girl.
Party girl. Party girl. We'll call her party girl. So Veronica Mars guy and party girl, they go to try out Trent's boat.
They do it specifically because Trent told them that they weren't allowed to use the boat.
Yeah, yeah. And so they go, yeah, he's driving the boat. She is...
Water skiing topless.
Water skiing topless.
And she's going, woo!
Yeah, and he's going, woo! That's what you do.
The hives are playing on the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's great. And then she takes a spill, falls off of the jet ski.
Yep.
And then Jason comes out and starts killing.
Yeah, and then it's all go, baby, from there.
Yeah, then it goes, we go at pretty lightning pace.
There's only a couple of other plot points, really, from there. Clay and the final girl, the nice girl, stumble across the Voorhees family home. It's got a little wooden bed in it with the word Jason carved in the headboard, like a child's bed. It's obviously the family home. It's full of trophies. It's full of all of these whistles from...
Dead counsellors.
From dead camp counsellors. So he's been taking these as, like, as trophies. But it's also got, like a Boy Scouts, like a counsellor badge for archery, which comes into it later because Jason can use a bow and arrow.
And he's pretty good.
In the bathroom, there's a bath full of black, dank water. Behind it, hole in the wall covered in candles. What's in the hole in the wall? Oh. Mrs. Voorhees' 29-year-old severed head.
Yes, this is what Whitney and her boyfriend from the beginning bit of the film, they find Mrs. Voorhees' head.
Yeah, serious times.
And now, here's the twist, everybody.
This is the and there is a twist.
Now,
wait a minute, because there is a twist.
Now, this all sounds pretty par for the course, because we thought, like, Clay, he's kind of like, I'm on the hunt for my sister who's gone missing. This is very reminiscent of Four, where you've got the stranger who comes to town looking for his sister that got killed off in part two or three.
A small character.
Yeah, but still, there's a little reference in there.
Yeah.
But his sister is alive.
She's alive.
Jason's got her chained up in his lair.
He's got this amazing lair, guys. It's dug into the earth beneath the house. So it's not even like a dungeon. It's not like a basement. There's no like
just
walls.
Tunnels.
There's no brick walls. It's like soft earth walls that he's dug under the floorboards.
And she's chained up under there.
Yeah, on like a mattress.
Yeah, and he's just kind of been keeping her alive for 6 weeks.
So I asked Tom at this stage, what has he been feeding her? Because he must have fed her something. She looks fine. Like,
but Jason
she looks
has
upset.
To eat. He's not a zombie.
No, I know. But so what that is, that he's not a zombie in this. In other films, yeah, he's been a zombie. That's fine. We've not had to think about it. In this one, I had to, for the first time, think. I mean, he's in his family home. You know, there is a kitchen in there. He's feeding her something. She looks completely healthy. She looks upset and scared, but she doesn't look malnourished at all.
I imagine he's a hunter because he's pretty handy with a bow and arrow.
Does he cook it? Like,
oh, no, he probably just eats it whole.
So, but what's he giving her? Like, just throwing her a live squirrel?
Yeah, probably. country rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, so this, I think for us, was a very important, like, oh, shit, something new that we haven't seen. Like, Jason's lair, he's got a prisoner, and it's cool, and it's dark, because she's chained up, and Jason's just walking through the corridors, and she is so terrified.
It is such a scary bit.
Yeah. But Jason, then, he's going around killing people.
He gets the hockey mask back at one point. He fights a guy, one of the guys he kills, like, just kind of lashes his hands out during death, rips the bag, and you get to see a bit of his, like, totally messed up face, which is strong it's time.
Pretty grim.
And then we're like, oh, what's Jason going to do now? And then he looks down and just randomly at his foot is a hockey mask.
He finds a nice hockey mask. This looks iconic. Maybe I'll put it. Oh yeah, that's good.
And it is good. Like, I enjoyed the bag head this time around, but it was good to have the hockey mask.
It would have been nice if there was, like, a scene where he had a selection of masks and he did a little bit of, like, a Pretty Woman, just kind of trying some
musical
masks,
montage.
Yeah.
I tell you what, they made really good use of the talking about, like, the dungeon scene in Jason's lair. They also made really, really good use of the woods as a horror setting for the first time, really. I love it. I've said before on some of these episodes that I love the idea of the woods as, like, this setting for a slasher film, like something that, a slasher that takes place almost entirely outside. Whereas if you actually think about it, the vast majority of these films, most of it happens inside.
Yeah.
Even in the early ones, it's a lot of inside cabin kills, a lot of bedrooms, like Jason's under bunk beds. He's like sneaking out of wardrobes. Then there's a bit of outside stuff. I mean, they go to New York, but a lot of that's on a boat. There's not really that. We've never gone fully Blair Witch. And this one is that to a certain extent. They're in the woods. It's dark. They can't see anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's just trees. They get lost. There's bear traps in the woods. Mm. There's holes that they're falling down. And Jason knows the woods like the back of his hand. You know, he's got shortcuts that you
can't. Yeah, he's got these tunnels that he's just popping up out
of. And it really works. It really works.
Yeah.
It's, like, nicely lit. So it's lit in a way that we can see what's going on, but it is also believable that the characters would be virtually blind.
Yeah.
It's really strong. I know that's a bit of a tangent, but, like,
no, I think
it really felt like the forest wood setting, which you always associate with Friday the 13th, is really there in a way that they've never utilized it to that extent before.
And also, like, the lair and the tunnels, that created a whole different aspect as well. Because there is the bit, like, in 2 where they go into Jason's cabin, but this is way more terrifying.
Well, it's like Jason's in control there.
Yeah.
Because he's not normally, like, Jason's always like a fish out of water, isn't he? Mm. He's like this sort of big, bumbling, like, death walrus that just sort of floats through our world. And he's like, I don't know what light switches are. I don't know what doors are. I'm just going to smash through this door. I'm just going to stab. Like, just cause a ruckus and then, like, flap out.
Yeah.
Whereas down there, like, he's in control. This is the world he's built for himself. Like, he's put this mattress there and put chains around it because this is where he wants to keep the people that he captures.
Yeah.
He's dug these tunnels himself. Like, you're in his house.
Mm. So
he's in control.
Yeah. And it's great. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, it was new, but it was welcome.
Yeah.
Now, so basically what happens is the way Clay joins the party is that he, when he's going around looking for Whitney, he ends up coming around to the douchebags.
Lake House.
And then he goes off with Jenna. They go looking around. And then they discover that someone has been killed. And they run back. And then they're like, oh my God, there's a guy out there. There's a guy out there. We've got to run away. And
the douchebag is like, hey, yo, what's this? I'm just trying to party.
Yeah,
He literally is the mean girl from the 7th film, from The New Blood, who was like...
on steroids.
Yeah.
He is just...
In that film, there was this girl who just refused to understand that the party was over even after all her friends were dead.
Yeah.
This guy is like...
even more
a
so.
A million times over.
Yeah. And then it's they get to that point where they become aware that, oh, shit, Jason's out there. There's a chase.
Yeah.
And then Clay and Jenna find Jason's lair. They find Whitney.
Yep, she's chained up. She's alive.
They free Whitney. And then they like try and like get out of there.
Sensible.
Yeah, they get out of there. I don't know if this is. I don't think it's going to be one of your top kills, but Jenna doesn't make it.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jenna doesn't.
And I
not
thought
make
that she
it.
Was going to make it. All signs indicated to her being a survivor.
Yeah.
But no, she's dead. So then it's just brother and sister, and they're in a barn. Classic Friday the 13th. They're in a barn finale.
Yeah.
They manage to get away from Jason.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to... It won't make it into my list of
kills. Is it not making it into your list of kills?
No, you can do it, Tom. Okay. You can do...
So basically, there is a wood chipper that you see in this film.
They show it to you a lot throughout.
Yeah, and you're just going, when are we get to the wood chipper? They're just like, when are they going to put someone in the wood chipper? Basically, they have this big fight with Jason, and they manage to... Whitney's got Pamela Voorhees' locket.
Yes,
there's a locket with a picture of her and Jason in there. And she kind of goes, Jason, it's okay. And she holds up the locket. Jason gets a little bit kind of like, I don't know, confused or emotional or whatever. And then they wrap a chain around his neck, hoist the chain up. The chain gets chucked into the wood chipper and starts yanking him in. He's getting hung, and you think, oh, is his neck going to break? But he breaks down, but the chain still pulls him into the wood chipper. And then Whitney stabs him with a machete, and then the wood chipper, he gets just close enough to it that it gets the back of his head just a bit, and it's just going around going...
Oh, it's so good.
And yeah, and so that is... So it's like Jason is dead, and then we cut to the sun is coming up, they're on the lake. Clay and Whitney are sat there on the docks with Jason's corpse, and they throw the corpse into the lake.
Inexplicably, because...
Why? Because so many people have died. The police need to see him.
Yes. It's like the one thing that would stop the police from going, maybe you guys killed everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that... So that is one of the things in this film that I was kind of like, that is dumb. That is dumb, and I don't like it. But the reason they throw him into the lake is so we can finish the film with Jason jumping back out of the lake in a jump scare.
Yeah, and he pulls Whitney in.
Yeah, but like it doesn't work in the same way as one where it's Jason jumps out the lake who you had not seen in the film at all.
Yeah.
Or at the end of three, where Pamela Voorhees' corpse jumps out, and that is a proper jump scare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this, they're like, they've thrown Jason into the lake, you see his mask settle on the bottom of the lake, and then he literally jumps out seconds later.
With the mask on.
That is not...
It's not right.
And so that was a bit of a start. I mean, hey, maybe it's a nod to the classic Friday the 13th trope of finishing a film just a little bit poorly in the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair trope.
My other big beef.
Yep.
So Jason kidnapped Whitney.
Yep.
Had her chained up.
Yep.
That's great. That's scary. That's dark. Why?
Why is a good point. Why her? I mean,
why at all? Well, resolution to that.
I get maybe why in his mind he's coming of age.
Mm.
You know, I mean, how old do you think he was in 1980 when his mum got killed? Like 10, maybe tops.
Mate, he's in his late 30s at least.
Yeah,
he's definitely come of age.
Like, by around the late 30s, that's kind of the time where people make their choices. You know, you're like, well, I guess I'm going to
settle down.
It's time to settle down. And I think that maybe that's, like, I can understand why he would be doing that then.
I was just waiting for a bit where Whitney was going to say kind of who this guy is, why he had kidnapped her. I just wanted a little bit of some insight as to, you know, what she's learnt about being his prisoner.
He kept reading me poetry.
Yeah, or just something like that.
He plays the lute.
Yeah, like, oh my God, he's really, really bad at playing the lute, but he just keeps on practicing it. Anyway.
Something about life
so
with Jason.
That's kind of the film.
Yeah, I had one beef as well that I would like to air if we're airing beefs.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, I liked the film. I genuinely did. And I think this is top five material.
I think so. I think, don't be put off, folks. I mean, there's far worse films in the original run. And I think you owe it to yourselves to go and watch this because it is like, it is scary. It is tense. It looks good. Like, it's a really good-looking film.
The soundtrack's great.
Yeah. The thing that is annoying is just, like... And it's part... But then it's part and parcel of the slasher genre is that all the characters are just such dicks. But that's fine because most of them die, so it's cool. But it's a strong one.
It's a strong one. My only complaint was, now some of you have told us on social media that you've been watching the films along with us, so thanks for that. That's really super sweet.
Thanks, guys.
But our aim is always that we're watching these films so you don't have to. So I get that, some of you have not been watching the films. That's totally fine. That's awesome. Something that we've only mentioned in passing before, but not really gone that deep into, because it's never really been that important, is this recurring sound thing from the films, which is... Which is this little... Should we do that again?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That was great.
Yeah.
This little sort of audio sting that comes in whenever Jason is near, normally. It's in the first film, it's kind of briefly suggested that it is in his mind.
Pamela's mind.
It's in Pamela's mind. It's like her... her insanity. It's the voice of dead Jason telling her, kill, 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 kill. Mama. And it's the idea. But like even in all the other films, it gets used again and again. It's been used in a lot of the trailers. I think we've mentioned it a couple of times, but we've never gone into detail.
Yeah, it's just one of the tropes of the...
It's been in literally every film. I don't think there's been a single one that's not had it.
I don't know. There might have been...
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think I would have noticed. Now,
if not in the film, it's in the trailer.
Yeah. This film has that sound and uses it at all the right moments. It's just slightly wrong. Not quite right,
they
is it?
They redid it. And it's a bit like in the new Godzilla film, that they redid Godzilla's iconic
roar,
and it's good in that, and in this it's very similar,
yeah.
And it works. But in your heart of hearts, you're just kind of like, I just want the original.
So like the original again. Just we'll do the original, and then we'll try and do this new version,
okay.
Right? Okay. So the original goes, and then this version is a bit like. It's not the same.
Pitched it down a bit.
Pitched it down, and it's not as vocal seeming. It's more like percussion noises to me.
Yeah.
It's not quite as much like a voice.
Like a voice in your head.
Like a voice of madness. It's like someone with a tambourine and a shaker. It's like...
Yeah.
It's not right.
I agree with you. And it may seem like maybe to the listener at home that we have spent an unnecessary amount of time discussing this minor point, but it is important.
No, we're going to two-part episode on this just so we can talk about this sound a bit more. It's important to me, damn it.
No, I agree. I felt it too. But, I think now would be a really good time for you to... get into the Dictionary of Death and...
Oh my God, maybe for the last time, man.
Or the last time
on this
season.
Series, get the yellow pages of Doom out.
Yeah.
This big, thick book.
Strong kill game in this film, I have to say.
This very strong kill game. Hear how heavy my Book of Death is. That is a hefty tome.
It's a big leather-bound book. With a picture of Todd's face carved into the leather.
Yes. Okay, so guys, for the last time of season one, now that we are at the bitter end, here is Todd Jordan, Toddly T's top three kills of Friday the 13th, the 2009 version.
If I might say, Todd, 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 kill, 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 kill.
Thank you.
12 episodes in, finally we got a fucking jingle for it.
Okay, good. So, ooh, mate, the kill game is dope. As Tom was saying, I'm going to start with
in three
bronze medal. Okay, so quite near the beginning of the film, there is one of the first batch of dude bros that gets killed. The ones that are trying to like find the stash of weed. There's this guy, he ends up in the Voorhees hut, but we don't know it's like the Voorhees home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where Jason's got his lair. And, you know, it's right at the start of the film. And they're like snooping around and he finds Mrs. Voorhees' head. And then the girlfriend is like, oh, I think I heard something. You know, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. And you're like, oh, cool. Jason's going to like barge through and start slicing him up. Turns out Jason's in his lair under the floorboards underneath them, but he stays there. He just keeps like shoving his machete up through the floorboards. He does it once, fucks the guy's foot up. He falls over. Oh my God. And then suddenly it's like machetes are plenty. Like you can't move for machetes come up for you. He the dude falls over, put his hand on the floor. Puts its hand on the floor, and the machete comes up and severs his hand in the same way that I think in part four, where Coco Feldman
chops him.
Yeah, it's a nice little
It's like the Vulcan live long and prosper,
he keeps slicing him, but like upwards. So it's this really sort of I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It's like a kill that Freddy Krueger would do when he can control the world and he does like a nightmare world.
Yeah.
And then like suddenly everything's made out of razor blades or something that. It's like the dude is trying to get away, but everywhere he steps, there's machetes coming up out the floor. And then eventually there's so many like machetes have gone through the floor that the floor collapses and we don't see Jason, but we see the guy getting pulled in, like pulled into the basement earth lair, which to us at this point in the film just looks like a big pit of earth. It doesn't even look like a basement. And the girlfriend is trying to pull him out and the dude's like spitting up blood and he's like, he's all like cut up and he just goes, run away as fast as you can. And then he just gets pulled in this like big pool of blood and she legs it.
It really kind of reminded me of Jaws.
Yeah, it was like that. You don't, and this is strong for me in this, it's a standout in the series for being a really good kill where you don't even see Jason. You don't see him.
Yeah.
He doesn't really, like, sometime a long time ago, Jason got brought into the light and he stayed there. You know, he's stopped being a monster of shadows.
Yeah.
In this one, he's much, much more back in the shadows.
Yeah. You still see a lot of him, but it is a lot more, it's very powerful. It's still very scary.
Yeah,
They've handled Jason in this really well, I think. So.
And that kill, I think, is a really good descriptor of the sort of technique they've used. Yeah. I like it. Bloody. Silver medal.
Yeah.
Into is a bit more of a silly one.
A little bit of a laugh.
A little bit of a laugh.
Oh, who doesn't like a laugh?
But it was, it did a good job of being a decent kill in just a ridiculous scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Broad daylight for a start, which is always tough for a slasher.
Yeah.
Not even just a scene that happens during the day inside, but it's like, it's broad daylight. We're outside. We're on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Party girl. And her boyfriend, they've gone out on the boat.
Haven't they just? Listening to the hives.
Yeah, listening to the hives. Party girl's water skiing. And like her bro boyfriend is driving the boat. And he gets killed in a good kill, but not the one that I'm highlighting. He gets, Jason shoots an arrow and it hits him in the head. Back of the head comes out his forehead and he's dead.
No, but he turns around and kind of goes, "Oh?"
Yeah, with his arrow sticking out of his head. So then suddenly the boat's like out of control. Party girl falls off the speedboat. She's all like topless in like this little bikini pants and stuff. And she's swimming away. She knows something's wrong. And she hides under, there's this little kind of jetty, like just a few planks of a dock on the edge. She hides under there. She's hiding under there. And we're like, is it going to be okay? Has party girl gotten away? And she's just got her head poking out the water. And then turns out Jason's on the jetty. He pokes a spike down through the jetty, which hits her smack bang in the top of the head, right? Dead straight away. Her eyes go crossed in like a kind of a g-g-g-g-g, like a comedy Looney Tunes thing, which would kind of be funny enough. But what then happens? And I feel bad telling this because I feel like these films have turned us into bad people, that this is funny.
They want to turn us into bad people.
After he spiked her in the head, he goes to pull the spike back out because he's like, I want that, I could use that later, you know, to kill someone else. And when he pulls the spike back out, she comes with it, her whole body lifts up and her head is pressed against the underside of the top of the jetty, and she's topless, and it's just, the film makes this big deal about like, oh look, dead girl boobs in it.
I think that's Michael Bay's voice coming from behind the camera that you can hear there,
and it's just ridiculous because The point is, it's not just like this quick thing where it lifts her up and you happen to see a bit of her boobies. It goes on forever. It's just this still shot of just like a dead girl being like, while Jason's trying to pull, he's just like, I can't get the spike out.
Yeah.
And because she's being lifted up out of the water, It, I mean, it's really, like, not appropriate. Like,
yeah, it's a bit peekaboo.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And then, like, the spike comes out and she plops back in the water. And I think we're all supposed to laugh.
I don't know. You can just imagine Michael Bay being like, am I right, lads?
Yeah, pop that one in the trailer. Yeah. Michael, I don't think we can pop that one in the trailer.
I mean, it's like, Mike, she is dead.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, it's... I mean, we're laughing about it now. At the time, it felt weird. But it is...
It's an uncomfortable one, because you're going to go, I don't know how to feel about that.
It's still quite a good kill, though.
Yeah.
The whole way that she gets... It's a good device of her, like, she's water skiing along.
She thinks she's safe.
She thinks she's safe, and then not only is her boyfriend dead, she's in the middle of the lake with no way to get back. And she, you know, she swims, she gets away, and she does a good job of hiding under the jetty, unfortunately. Not good enough.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's, like, It's a complicated kill.
Yeah.
But
not a setup.
Not without its merits.
Yeah, it's good. Now, that brings us to...
The gold...
In one.
Todd Jordan, Toddly T's gold medal kill of Friday the 13th, 2009 edition. Goes to... It's from the first batch of campers near the start of the film again.
Oh, yes.
I think it's one of the very first kills in the film, if you don't count Mrs. Voorhees getting her head lopped off. It is a girl who wasn't in the film long enough for us to learn her name. Her boyfriend goes away. Meanwhile, Jason, with a bag on his head, tears down the side of her tent with the machete. It's like, you're coming with me. And then the boyfriend is like, oh, I think I heard something. He comes back to check it out. And the girl is in her sleeping bag, tied up by Jason, hanging from a tree in the sleeping bag over the campfire.
Fuck, man.
Being slowly, like, cooked alive.
Inside the sleeping bag.
Inside this amazingly flame-retardant sleeping bag.
I would have thought a sleeping bag would just go... It would just turn into tar.
Not this one.
Into a good camping
there's
shop.
There's all these awful, like, shots of inside the sleeping bag of her just, like, sweating and turning red and being like,
smoke everywhere.
Oh, my God. And then eventually the sleeping bag does catch fire. She falls out. By that point, it's too late. She's clearly, like, all burnt up. But there's this amazing bit where she, like, tumbles out and just, like, a massive plume of smoke comes out her mouth.
That is dark.
I mean, it is dark. And there is, you know, one of a long series of sleeping bag related deaths that we've had in these films. But the best one by far, this beats the sleeping bag wallop banging against the tree death.
Because this one is terrifying.
Like, yeah, this is so brutal.
And it's just, and it takes a long time. She's in there for a long old time cooking away.
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah. Dark times. And that is it, guys. That is my top three kills of this particular movie.
Good stuff. Well, we're at the end.
We are at the end. The bitter end.
The very bitter end. We've done it. This has been a long old slog.
Yeah, this is the point in the podcast where we would normally talk about what we're expecting from the next film. And we don't have that.
I mean, apparently there is going to be a next film.
Yes, we are aware.
Maybe next year. And maybe next year your old pals Toddy and Tommy are going to go down to the cinema and watch that, and maybe we'll tack on a little extra edition.
A little bonus set for you
little
guys.
Little bonus set, but we'll let you know. Deal with that when we get to it.
So here's what's going to happen now. Some of you have asked us what the new series is going to be about, and we're going to let you know, but we're not going to let you know right now. There's going to be one more episode, which will be the 13th episode of the podcast.
Fittingly enough.
Very fitting. And what we thought would be fun was if we did a wrap-up of the whole franchise.
Because this is a big fucking franchise.
There's a lot to take
in. So there's a lot to talk about. Like, we talked about this film, and then you've got to look at it all in context. And that is what we want to do on the podcast, is that, you know, you pick a franchise and see what it's made of.
Just soak yourself in it.
And we are marinated. Yeah. We're ready to go on the fire and be cooked. But
so in the next episode...
we're going to talk about it as a
whole. We're going to talk about the films as a whole, and then the books...
Comics,
video games, the future of
the legacy of the thing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to give you season two. We're going to tell you what season two is going to be.
So I hope that's all right. We really, really appreciate every single one of you that listens.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. It's a lot of fun to make this, but it would be a lot less fun if you weren't listening.
Yeah.
So that is it.
Yeah, hit us up on the social media and all that kind of stuff if you want to tell us off for anything or
@bitterend,
or say something nice.
It's @bitterendpod on Twitter and @bitterendpod on Facebook. If you've got, and I think we've already picked season two, but if you've got any ideas for future seasons that you'd like us to do, do let us know. Get online and tell us. And if you've enjoyed even one of these episodes, please do go on iTunes and drop us a review. Means a lot.
But until then, guys, we'll see you next time for the wrap-up.
Bye.
Bye.